Get the Angelry special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
Exclusively on ESPN Plus, UFC 313, Saturday. Reigning light heavyweight champion Alex Pereira defends his title against number one contender Magomed Ankalaev, and an explosive lightweight bout between Justin Gaethje and Rafael Fiziev. UFC 313, Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Buy it on ESPNPlus.com/PPV.
Slim.
And I'm Kate Lindsay, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it,
Slate's podcast about internet culture. So, Candace, despite us being on opposite sides of the country, which I obviously lament every day, we did have a bit of synchronicity this morning. We both started our days by watching the new Netflix series from Meghan Markle called With Love, Meghan.
Yes.
What did you think?
I mean, first off, great morning show. Mm-hmm. Really, really has like day in the life influencer vlog vibes. Mm-hmm. Of just like, I'm motivated. I like it. I liked it pretty immediately. The music, the lighting is great. You know, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is a Netflix lifestyle show where Meghan Markle invites a camera crew into her quote unquote home, which she does say is a set. And it's all about that Montecito vibe. You know, they're making jam from berries in her garden and honey from the bees that she also has in her garden. And it's very light and earthy. There's kind of this added glamour of like famous friends. So that's Mindy Kaling, that's Chef Roy Choi, and people who knew her from her Suits days. So that's like her makeup artist. That's some of her co-stars. And of course, Prince Harry makes a small appearance along with multiple mentions of their kids. But Kate, this is about us. What did you think? Are you into it?
Yeah, it took me similarly. I was hooked in 5 seconds. I loved the music. The shots were beautiful. The home, even if it wasn't hers, was beautiful. And actually, I do want to say that that is something I liked about this show. It does something a little unique because this format's kind of similar. Like when we watch Ina Garten, she's cooking for a dinner party that isn't, you know, actually happening organically. And we just are kind of on board for it. With Love, Meghan kind of gets ahead of that and is very clear. Like, Meghan references this is not her home. So the things that she's making for her guests, like her makeup artist, she's like, I'm making this to bring back to our home because I do not live here. And then even there are several moments where she kind of breaks the fourth wall and hands like a cup of tea to a cameraman, or we see shots of the crew kind of helping with the bees during like a very early scene. And so I really like that. I thought it did a good job of still being aspirational. We're all kind of like, oh yes, this is how Meghan would plan a, you know, a children's birthday party. But it also takes the audience seriously enough to be like, okay, we know some of this is a setup and we're not going to pretend. We're going to acknowledge it. There is a crew here. This is not our home. And I actually liked it. I thought it made it more real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because like walking in, I was expecting like Martha Stewart, Wishbone Kitchen vibes. And I actually think it surprised me a little bit because a part of me was like, wait a minute, is she actually trying to go for like an Anthony Bourdain vibe? And I was like, no, go one more. I actually think that maybe there's kind of like a Selena and Chef-ness to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Selena, reach out. Maybe her and Meghan collab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, but this format is easily repeatable. She could just have,
I know,
keep having more and more people over for dinner. Maybe we're invited at some point. Just putting it out there.
Oh my God. The way I want the jam so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the show itself, but just kind of stepping back a little bit. The show is dropping at a very interesting time for many reasons. You know, the show's premiere was delayed due to the wildfires, but it also comes on the heels of two different news items. The first being Vanity Fair. They dropped a supposed expose back in January around the original release date of the show. Didn't really make much movement, didn't really reveal anything you didn't already know or feel about Meghan and Harry, but it questioned their business practices in the 5 years since they left the royal family and basically said that all those deals have amounted to nothing. So what does that say about them as an entity, as a celebrity couple, as business people? Then Meghan had announced a brand that people were excited about. It was called American Riviera Orchard. Last month, she rebrands the brand. It's now called As Ever, which added Netflix as a business partner. And if you go on their website right now, there are multiple products, jams, teas, flower sprinkles, that are now on the website that appeared in the Netflix show. So there is a lot of synergy happening here.
Obviously, I've pulled up the website. Obviously, I'm adding the shortbread cookie mix to cart. I need all of this.
Those flower sprinkles.
But the stakes do feel really high for this show for two reasons. The first being that with Love, Meghan, you know, while it might be Meghan's kind of post-royal debut, it's actually pretty reminiscent of something OG fans of Meghan know her for, which is not just as an actress, but as a blogger and an influencer.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was wondering if Meghan was returning to acting, but signs suggest influencing might be her true home. You know, she's back on Instagram as Meghan. She's making videos. She's promoting a product line. She, also like any successful influencer, has snarkers.
Right. And this is actually the second reason it really feels like the stakes are so high. There are huge online communities out there that have always just been dedicated to rooting for Meghan's downfall. And this series is like kind of one of the biggest things they've been handed that's just like entirely Meghan, multiple episodes, multiple opportunities every episode for them to take issue with her and tear her apart. But, you know, even less zealous people, people who don't congregate online to snark on a woman they've never met who has no effect on their life. Even people less zealous than that, they probably still associate Meghan with either her royalty or the royal sort of scandal of leaving that family. They don't really know her outside of that scandal. So this is an opportunity for her to kind of reintroduce herself.
And the question is, can she pull it off? Or is the Meghan Markle name and story too big to rebrand? To find out, we sat down with an expert before the show hit streaming. After the break, culture critic and royal watcher Kristen Meinzer joins us to check in on how the internet feels about Meghan Markle and whether With Love Meghan will rebrand her or become just another failed attempt to move on.
Get the Angel Reese special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
This episode is brought to you by Built. If you earn points on groceries, travel, and practically everything else you buy, why not consider earning points on one of the biggest monthly expenses, rent? Built changes the game by letting renters earn high-value points on rent. There's no cost to join Built, and as a member, you'll earn valuable points on rent and on your everyday spending. Built points can be transferred to your favorite hotels and airlines, and even the ones you haven't heard of. There are over 500 airlines and 700,000 hotels and properties around the world you can redeem your Built points toward. Points can also be redeemed towards a future rent payment and unique experiences that only Built members can access. So if you're not earning points on rent, you have to ask yourself, why not? Start earning points on rent you're already paying by going to joinbuilt.com/ICYMI. That's joinbuilt.com/ICYMI. Be sure to use joinbuilt.com/ICYMI to start earning points on your rent payments today. Hey there. If you love our podcast, then maybe you should consider subscribing to Slate Plus to immediately unlock bonus episodes. Plus, you'll access ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts, including bi-weekly bonus episodes of our show. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts by clicking Try Free at the top of our show page or visit slate.com/ICYMIplus to get access wherever you listen.
And we're back. Joining us today is a culture critic, Royals watcher. She's currently hosting The Daily Fail. She's guest hosting our sister podcast, Dear Prudence. It's Kristen Meinzer. Hello, Kristen.
Hey, thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited to be here with you two.
It's so great to have you here, Kristen. And I think before we dive into our own personal opinions on Meghan and Harry, let's just do a vibe check on this sort of ex-royal couple. So in 2020, they announced they would be stepping back from their senior roles in the royal family. That summer, they moved to California. And I think it was as of around 2023, they no longer have an official UK residence.
Mm-hmm. And it kicked off with an interview in Oprah in 2021 that positioned all of this as a safety issue. They pointed to the UK press and claimed they weren't getting enough support from the firm, aka the royal family, and battling constant rumors and headlines. So especially due to what happened to Harry's mother, Princess Diana, they were bowing out. This was part of what we would call their first rebrand away from being royals. And let's not forget that they kind of did make internet history by giving us a meme that you, Kate, literally used in a meeting last week.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
I was silenced by my cold. Yes, that is when I used it. The cold silenced me. Mm. So then in 2022, the pair were the subject of a Netflix documentary series called Harry and Meghan. So that series took a deeper look at the transition. And then in 2023, Harry released his memoir, Spare. And now we are here. So, Kristen, where do you stand on Meghan right now? And has your position evolved at all over the past year or so?
Yeah, well, I think that Meghan and Harry have obviously had an extremely eventful past 5 years. Stepping down from being senior royals, setting up a new life in California, having two children. That alone would be, I think, a lot for any couple to go through, you know, moving to a new country, having little kids and so on. And then on top of that, all of the work they've done. And I think they have done it in the right order. I think what people were really thirsty for in the beginning was to know the story behind the castle walls, what was happening there, why did they step back? And obviously the world ate it up. I mean, that Netflix series, that documentary series became one of the most watched documentary series in the entire history of Netflix. And Harry's book became one of the fastest bestsellers in all of history as well. So people obviously had a hunger for that. And I think they did it in the right order. They put that stuff out first. And now they're starting to put out their other projects. And some of the projects have been better than others. But I think this new project that Meghan has with Netflix is really going to be the right thing for her brand, the right thing for her audience, for her fans. It's really a return to form. The Tig, many people already know about The Tig, for those who don't, this is kind of the lifestyle brand, the blog, the newsletter that Meghan had back in the day before she was a royal. She was essentially a lifestyle influencer to millions of millennials and, you know, an accessible one, kind of a touchy-feely California one, the kind of, if you believe it, you can be it kind of person. And, you know, much warmer, much more self-helpy than Martha Stewart, but still some of that beautiful sort of stuff that you would expect from a Martha Stewart sort of brand. You know, here's some fruit sliced up and plated beautifully next to a scone, you know, that kind of stuff. And so this new show, I think, is going to be a return to form for her. And who better to get ideas of how to host than a duchess, right?
I'm glad to hear this prediction from you. Before I share how I feel, Candace, you said something interesting about sort of the evolution of your opinion on Meghan and Harry that I want to hear from you.
Yeah, so I did follow them as a royals watcher. I was very on top of every single headline that they made after they moved to the US. I will say there was a bit of a turning point for me, and his name is Spare. Like, that book was kind of a tough one for me because I felt like Harry was kind of recounting things about his military service that made me kind of take pause for a second. He told some pretty jarring, if not like allegedly violent incidents that happened between him and his brother, William. Mm-hmm. And this for me kind of made me start to question if like all the haters of Meghan and Harry who say like, you know what? For people who wanted privacy, they're so public. For people who, you know, claim to step back, they're really stepping forward in Hollywood. And I was kind of like, ah.
I'm just going to push back on that a little bit, Candace, because other people can violate your privacy. Mm. they were not violating their own privacy. They were sharing what they wanted to get ahead of the headlines. There were so many violations of privacy of people finding out private things about them and then publishing them in the rags that Harry essentially said, I'm going to beat you to the punch. I'm going to publish everything embarrassing, everything that's potentially shameful, everything that could ever be held against me in the future. I'm putting it out there so you can't do it. And choosing to tell one's own story is not a violation of privacy. Mm. That's choosing to tell one's own story. So I respectfully disagree with you on that one, Candace.
And that's okay. That's okay. This is UK chat show vibes. Graham Norton.
This is interesting because I think hearing you say and talk about the success of those pieces of entertainment was interesting because I feel like I have accidentally consumed this narrative that isn't, oh, they are writing books and making series to like acclaim and popularity. They are oversaturating us. A little bit of what Candace was saying, like the narrative that comes out is like, you know, I see this especially in the UK, like, why are they shoving themselves down our throats? Which is, I can come out and like say now that I do really like them. I don't know why, I just like them. But that has always perplexed me because hearing what you're saying about the success of that documentary and that memoir, it's like, you know, if you look at it from that viewpoint, it's like these are really prolific entertainers. But then it seems part of the public has chosen to interpret, you know, them making these pieces of content to incredible success as like them oversaturating the market rather than being like booked and busy. Why do you think that that is how it comes across to some people, even though, like, as you're saying, people want to read this, they want to watch the Netflix show, they want to buy the book?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, you're right, say exactly what Candace was saying. If they want privacy so much, then why are they sharing private information? And I think that some people are taking that as a contradiction rather than framing it the way I do, which I'm saying this is people choosing to take ownership of a story and sharing it on their terms versus a violation of privacy, which Harry had to deal with directly and actually recently won a lawsuit over because the tabloids have been violating his privacy his entire life and doing it in totally unscrupulous ways. And so I just have a different interpretation of things. I think other people who maybe aren't as familiar with those violations of privacy or what the tabloids have done to him or have done generationally to his family, maybe to them, they're just thinking, why is he sharing this stuff if he wants privacy so much? And again, I say privacy is something that I cannot violate my own privacy. Only others can. Likewise with Harry and Meghan. As for, you know, do we have too much Harry and Meghan? I'd also say if you don't like it, you don't have to consume it. And I'd also say the number one culprits in giving us too much Meghan and Harry are the same tabloids that claim to hate Harry and Meghan and say that we're being oversaturated with Harry and Meghan. If you look at the tabloids that I cover every single week on my podcast, The Daily Fail, I mean, everything from, you know, The Daily Smear, Page Sucks, Hell No Magazine, all of these outlets, these are the nicknames we give them on my show, all of these outlets, if you look at the top 10 stories of the day, every day, that they publish, they're always about Harry and Meghan. And they're complaining about overexposure of these two as they continue to expose them. So they're clearly profiting off of this narrative that we have too much of them, even as they're perpetuating it.
This is such a common thing in media where people in the comment section love to say they want one thing, but the data of their clicks means something totally different. And I remember when one of my first jobs, we would cover the Kardashians a lot. Anytime we covered the Kardashians, this is when Facebook was really helpful to media companies. It is not anymore. But back when it was, we would, you know, publish something about the Kardashians and all the Facebook comments would be people being like, why are you giving them attention? Why are you covering them?
Or who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. And it's like, cares? Clearly you do because you just wrote a comment saying who cares?
I was like, every single one of these comments not only pushes this post further up Facebook feeds, it also, all that does is translate into data that tells the media outlet we should write more about these people because when we do, the posts get engagement. And yes. Yeah, so it's a mix of a lot of those things. And, you know, there's this idea of, because I think it comes down to like there's a lack of sympathy that people have towards very real problems that Meghan and Harry have faced because of the fact that they have this sort of undercurrent of like royal that I mm-hmm. think for a lot of people, they feel that negates any sympathy they can feel for them. And it's really difficult because you hear the problems and it's like, it's just it's this thing that happens on the internet of wanting to make things really black and white, but like someone can have privilege in so many other ways and yet fear for their life because of the ways that the press are covering them.
Yeah. I mean, when people are getting death threats, death mm-hmm. threats are scary whether you're famous or not. Whether you're rich or not, death threats are still scary, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, if you're looking at people's sort of complaints, however much you want to like subscribe to them or whatever, I would say the through line is a little bit this idea of like unfulfilled promises, but not even necessarily promises that Meghan or Harry themselves made. So I'm thinking of like when Meghan became a member of the royal family, it was such a huge deal because she was American, she's divorced, she's black. And I think a lot of people, when they saw this happening, narratively, it really looked like we were about to enter this new modern era of the monarchy and that Meghan was going to bring us this. And then through no fault of her own, that did not happen. The institution that is centuries old would not adapt and they had to leave. And so then I think there's this expectation of, okay, now you've broken free, you're doing something on your own terms. But, you know, it's interesting. They've had this success. And then in more recent, even just like a year or two, there's been a little bit less of a like clearly figuring out like, okay, who are we now beyond this scandal? Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're still reintroducing themselves. You know, because I'm thinking back to the Vanity Fair piece that came out that kind of really dissected a lot of these attempts. I think the problem is, at least right now, it doesn't seem like they have that much to say, which is totally fine. But they've been put in this position of like needing to come out swinging after everything that's happened to them. And basically, I don't know if anyone could meet those expectations.
Yeah, you're right. There have been a lot of expectations placed, especially on Meghan's shoulders. And I was among the many who thought, oh, this could be a major turning point for the monarchy. I mean, it seems like, at least for that magic moment, those couple of years there, that the monarchy looked a little bit more like the Commonwealth. And finally, my God, after 1,000 years, it's about time, right? And it was so heartbreaking when that didn't end up happening, when the institution decided that there was no difference between rudeness and racism. There's a big difference between those two things, as we know. And so, yeah, when they stepped back, they needed to tell the story that the public was thirsty for. They gave that to the public. And then, yeah, there definitely have been some struggles figuring out what is the next move now? What does the public want from us? And as I said earlier, I think that the TIG is the right thing to go back to and to do a version of that in this new show. I think having a lifestyle brand with certain kinds of products related to this new Netflix brand, that makes sense as well. I would love for them to maybe do a little bit more of what the Obamas are doing as well and step out there. For example, Michelle Obama, she produces a show called The Later Daters, which is about people who are, I believe, over 60 who are back on the dating market and looking for love, which I think, oh, this is fantastic. We have people kind of the same age group as the Obamas going out to date, and it's a show about believing in love. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is the kind of stuff that Meghan and Harry should do because so much of their brand is the love story. What kinds of shows can they be a part of that have a love story? What kinds of Shonda Rhimes sort of projects could they be a part of? What kinds of reality dating projects could they be a part of? I think their love story is really what's going to sell, along with some of this lifestyle stuff, because that's going back to a proven success that Meghan has had in the past. I think those two things are going to do the best for them.
Yeah, and I think With Love, Meghan is taking us one step in the right direction, because Meghan is kind of going back to her roots. And before royalty, before Harry, Meghan Markle, in addition to being an actor on Suits, she was kind of an influencer. I argue she probably, in another timeline, would have been the greatest influencer of all time by now.
It's interesting, the reception I'm seeing so far, because obviously I would never normally do this before the show, when I watched the trailer on YouTube and then I went to the comments, and the comments are just awful. But it is like, In the case of like Spare or Harry and Meghan, or even like the Oprah interview, that was this sort of, if not expose, like really sort of rigorous, serious, moving pieces of entertainment that are meant to share their story. And I think there's a certain subset of people coming to this with a similar, like, what is this going to say? Or like, what is she trying to? And for me, it reminds me of
yes.
The Onion did a really good review of Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, kind of in response to places that were giving Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, kind of doing reviews that were like, this is not the most like artfully crafted film. And it's like, what did you want from Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again? And that's kind of how I feel about this, where it's like, you can come to this with your criticisms, but like, this show, from the trailer and all the other branding, has never purported to be anything other than like, watch Megan have a nice, pretty time with her famous friends. Like, mm-hmm. The things that people are taking issue with in the comments, like, I too also cook in a beige sweater, or like, yep, just my friend Mindy Kaling coming over. It's like, no, like, you're not calling the show out on anything. It isn't already telling you exactly what it is. I don't know. It's just, I know as people say it a lot, but it's like, just enjoy things. And if you don't watch it.
Yeah. What are they expecting? Ken Burns, right? 8-part Civil War series here? What are they expecting this to be?
Yeah.
Accept it for what it is. I loved Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, for what it was, because I was not watching it thinking it was Schindler's List. Okay.
Exactly.
Sometimes correct. We just need to enjoy things for what they are. And that's okay. Life is more fun if we can just enjoy things for what they are.
Exactly. In fact, with Love, Megan season 2, what do they want? Roger Deakins coming in with scones talking about editing. Jesus.
No,
which
no,
I would watch.
Yeah. So it's like, with Love, Megan, season 1, baking scones. Season 2, she's in a war zone.
Oh, my God.
We can do that for the next one.
Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, we are already talking about a season 2 because we want more Megan, either at home or at war. But if you go online, it seems like some people want less of her. After the break, Kristen will help us figure out who the remaining Meghan and Harry stans are and what, if anything, she can do to win her haters over.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us to face each threat head on. We've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm ready for my life to change.
ABC Sunday, American Idol returns.
Give it your all. Good luck. Come out with the golden ticket.
Let's hear it.
This is a man's world.
I've never seen anything like it.
And a new chapter begins.
We're going to Hollywood!
Carrie Underwood joins Lionel Richie, Luke Bryan, and Ryan Seacrest on American Idol. Season premiere Sunday, 8, 7 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
And we're back. We are talking about Meghan and Harry because of the new Netflix show that just dropped. It's called With Love, Meghan. I think one of the most jarring experiences for me is like every time something happens with Meghan and Harry, I always get like a very different reaction from speaking to people in real life about Meghan Markle and then going online and like seeing what they think about Meghan Markle, because every time I check in on them on Reddit, it is brutal. The stuff they are saying on places like the subreddit Saint Meghan Markle, which is an anti-Meghan Markle snark subreddit, sometimes it's like so vile and random and cruel that I almost feel hurt on behalf of Meghan, as if they're like talking about me. But I recently was also checking up on places like FOMOIR or Pop Culture Chat. And when they post a headline about them, there's definitely people in there being like, good for her, or no matter what they do, the haters will criticize. But I wouldn't necessarily describe their sentiment as necessarily like defending or 100% pro Meghan and Harry, because, you know, they will bring up their own criticisms, or they'll sometimes agree with what the Vanity Fairs and the Hollywood Reporters are writing about them in the comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never understood the people who hate them. And maybe Kristen, as someone who's followed this, where does that anger come from at these people who to me have always been so benign?
They really are. It's just two millennials who are in love, who live in California and have two kids. Like, what is everyone so upset about, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to me that the most outrage seems to come from older white people, older royalists. When I say older, I mean, you know, kind of boomer and older. I don't want to turn this into a generational, like, boomers are the worst. I'm not saying that at all. But it seems to me to be the case that younger people either are like, either yay, they're great, or whatever, who cares, let them live their lives. But the people with that vitriol you're talking about seem to be the older people who, in their own minds, I think, don't necessarily think of themselves as racist, but very much eat up all of the racist media coverage of Meghan. They might not think of themselves as sexist, but they very much consume all of that sexist tabloid coverage of Meghan. And the dog whistles have been apparent from the minute she entered the picture. Who can forget the headlines about her being straight out of Compton or about that niggling feeling that certain outlets had about her? And so it started from day one. And when questioned about it, some journalists would say, oh, we're not being racist. We're just saying she's not like us. Well, what do you mean by that? And that, you know, envelops a lot of things. Yes, she's American. Yes, she is California. Yes, she's much more touchy-feely. Royals are very staid and standoffish, right? And so in some ways, culturally, there is a difference, obviously. But what do we really mean when we say she's not like us? So I really want to believe that most of the people who are anti-Meghan don't think of themselves as racist and sexist.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, I think, actually are, even if they don't think of themselves that way.
Well, yeah, it's like if you're going to bat for the royal family and like the quote-unquote sanctity of the royal family, it's like, yeah, it's like, unpack that. What do you mean by you just like don't want the royal family ruined? Like what do you actually
saying? And all of the headlines about how she broke protocol. I worked on a deep dive story with Business Insider many years ago where we took headlines from the same tabloid side by side showing praise for Kate doing the same things that Meghan was criticized for, side by side, over and over again. And so they would repeatedly say, oh, well, she's just not like us. She's always breaking protocol. Really? Because the same thing was praised when Kate did it. When Meghan ate avocados, it was supposedly because she was in favor of drought and climate change and child slavery. And when Kate ate avocados, it was because it was a sweet treat from her husband who likes to help her morning sickness, you know, these side-by-side headlines. So even the argument that she's not like us and breaks protocol, that lie we can see right through when we see those side-by-side headlines with Kate. Kate does the same things, and for some reason it's fine when Kate does it.
No, what you're saying there reminds me of, because I mentioned I was looking at the YouTube comments of the trailer, there's this weird thing happening in the comments of, for some reason, people are pitting this show, Meghan's show, against, I guess, a project that Pamela Anderson is working on with cooking. And they're all commenting things like, look at Pamela Anderson's, like, it's, she's not wearing makeup, she's not being over the top like this. And it's just like another weird thing of like, unpack that further. Like, what are you, when you're saying like, oh, when Pamela Anderson does it, it's fine. But when when Meghan's doing it, it's selfish or something. It's, these little, and it's what makes this type of racism so nefarious.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, I'm saying this because I just really value the royal family, or I just like really love Pamela Anderson. And it's like the motivations are not pure.
And I'll just add that famously, women who marry into the royal family are treated like garbage by the tabloids. They are. You only have to look at Fergie, at Diana. Any of the women who marry into this family, even the early days of Kate when she was dating William, was, you know, frequently treated unkindly as well. But with Meghan, there's been that added threat of racism and death threats thrown in.
A question I ask every single time they put out a new thing is like, is this going to change the way people feel about them? And so, Kristen, I wanted to ask you, do you think the Netflix show With Love, Megan is going to change anything about their image, their persona, or how we feel about them?
I think it's going to be the closest thing to a hit that they've had putting out content that's not related to why they left the royal family. Yeah. You know, the Polo show, frankly, wasn't very good. It had the potential to be so good if they were willing to pillory the upper class and make it a little more spicy, a little more sexy. But it was a very staged show, which is unfortunate because who doesn't love looking at out-of-touch rich people behaving badly? But they didn't really lean into that as much as they could have. And so I think that, you know, and then other projects they've worked on, their heart has been there, but it's been so sincere without a lot of fun. And I think this new show is actually going to be fun. And there's definitely going to be that earnestness that we get from Harry and Meghan, which drives some people nuts because they're like, oh, they're too earnest. But I think that it's going to be the closest thing to something really fun and close to Meghan's heart. And as long as we keep getting more fun stuff from them, I think that's going to serve them well.
Yeah, they've told their story of leaving the royal family kind of every which way now. And the sympathy on that has run out. And so now it's like, who are they when that is in the rearview mirror? And it comes back to a question that I really have for all wealthy people, which is like, why do anything? Like, just why? If I were you, I would spend your money so much better on myself. But I also think that there is a bit of a misunderstanding with Meghan and Harry's money situation in general, which is like, obviously, they live in a gorgeous house. They're from the royal family. But they are not in the royal family anymore. They are not making any money from that. And the things they're doing right now, this is them figuring out, like, what does our career look like post-royal? What does our income look like post-royal? And I think it's like you said, like, they've had to try out a few things, which for most people is always the case when getting something off the ground. But they are in the unique position of not only already having a ton of people watching them, but having a lot of people who don't like them watching them already too.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is them trying to find a way to make a living and support themselves. And they have extremely, extremely enormous monthly bills just for their security alone. The amount of security they need. The reason that, you know, the royal family in the UK pays for security for all of the senior royals is for their own safety. I mean, let's not forget, Princess Anne at one point was kidnapped. I mean, this is a family where bad things happen. Diana was killed. Okay. So security is something that people genuinely need in this family, and it costs millions of dollars. And Harry and Meghan no longer get that from the royal family. And so that alone, they have to work jobs. And unlike the rest of us, they can't just go and work at McDonald's if they want to. They can't do that. Whether or not royalists want to see them as royals, that's how the world will see them forever. So they can't work ordinary jobs like the rest of us. Can you imagine them bringing their security detail with them while they worked at McDonald's making french fries?
Even if Meg is like in HR. That's not going to work.
She'd be like, so I've been in a bad HR situation as well. I want to get into it. I'm actually signing NDAs. And it's like, we Googled. I think I want to end on this note, which is that we're obviously watching the Netflix show. And I'm kind of curious, what else do you guys want to see from Harry and Meghan this year? What do you think they should do like next?
Yeah, I already mentioned it. I think they should lean into the love story content. I really think they should maybe try on either a reality dating show or working on co-producing something that's sort of Bridgerton-like.
I was going to say Bridgerton cameo would hit so good.
Oh my God, imagine.
And I also think that people would love to see Meghan act again.
Suits LA.
I mean, she's an actor by training, and so why not? That is your profession. For Harry, who knows? Harry doesn't have a profession other than being a prince. So this is going to be, I think, a little bit harder for him.
Well, here's what I want. Actually, my goal for them this year involves Harry, which is in that Vanity Fair piece, they mentioned this reported podcast that he was tossing around where he basically wanted to interview really powerful men and ask them, why are they sociopaths? Because he's like, I had all this stuff happen to me and I grew up relatively normal. Why are you the way you are? And the piece was really well written, and it, you know, very generously said that that podcast had what would be known as a booking issue, which is how do you ask sociopaths to come on? But I thought it was so funny. And I think I'm like, they do have great ideas. That's a great idea. I want to see it happen. Maybe the world just isn't ready for it. But in 2025, I think we need to know why these powerful men are the way they are. And if Harry wants to do it, Godspeed.
Just head to the White House, Harry. Talk to some people.
Yeah, literally just pull yourself outside.
There you go. Hey, if they're not letting Reuters in, maybe they'll let Harry in. Okay. Yeah. Covert, covert.
Okay, that's the show. We want to thank Kristen Meinzer for joining us on today's episode. You can find Kristen hosting the Dear Prudence podcast. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. Please leave a rating and review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Alexandra Voti, Kate Lindsay, and me, Candace Lim. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Hillary Fry is Slate's editor-in-chief. See you online.
Or on Harry's Sociopath podcast.
Get the Angelry special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.